of prayer here. Father, we thank you for that song this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And it has been established through the ages, and you have preserved it. Throughout time, we've seen this many times when the word was tried to distinguish, it was tried to be put out, it was tried to be destroyed in many various ways. God, that you've preserved it for us to partake of it here this morning. Thank you for that. It feeds our souls and it gives life to us. May you continue to make it to bear fruit as it goes out in the lost world. God, may as we partake of it, may we use it to spread it as seed, that it might bear fruit, first of all in our lives and also in the lives of people we come in contact with. As we spread your word, may it bring forth fruit in due season. Father, we pray for the preaching of your word this morning. We thank you for it. Thank you for the brothers that have broken the bread of life to us already. Bless them in their labors. Cause their face to shine upon us. Lord, we want to hear from you again. God, be our shepherd, be our father. We know that you love us, and you have a special interest in our lives, and you want us to be fruitful in your kingdom, that it may be multiplied, that it may advance. Father, have your own way, first of all, in my heart this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. We'll just dive in here. The thing that the Lord's laid on my heart. Just want to bless you, brothers. I've shared this morning already. Thank you for that. The title for this morning's thoughts here that I have down is Judge Righteously. Now, that may have a bad connotation to you all, but it's not a bad word. You know, think of the word judge. It's not a bad word. But it does sometimes make us cringe as we think of that. We don't know what's going to come out of that one. Some would say that the verse in Matthew 7, verse 1, is almost quoted as much or more than John 3:16, which is a few words that says, "Judge not that you be not judged." You know, John 3:16, we get the idea of love, how God so loved the world. And that's true. God does love us. And we don't ever want to take that aspect away of God's love towards us. As while we were yet sinners, He died for us. But in Matthew 7, almost gives the indication where you cannot judge me. I can do what I want. Therefore, you cannot judge me. So I can, you know, do whatever I want. Type of mentality that comes from that oftentimes. So here in this picture, we have a God that loves just the way that I am. And in a sense, that's true. God does love us just the way we are. But He doesn't leave us there. He didn't leave us there. He took us from where we were and bring us into a different way of life. There's a different value system. He brought us into a kingdom that has different values, and the whole thing is different. So He does love us just the way I am in some respects. Okay. There's some verses in John that we want to go to and make our way to. But first, let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, we'll read those verses there. Verses 1 through... We'll just do 1 through 5. 1 through 5. We'll read that there and a few thoughts. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. When you think of the context of these verses here, we must back up to chapter 4. At the end of chapter 4, and we'll just go over a little bit here, and we'll just kind of set the stage of these few verses that he speaks about there, Jesus speaking. Verse 23 of chapter 4 says it this way, and Jesus went up about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought him unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. In verse 25, we get a picture of both the northern region and also the southern region of Israel. And those were the people that heard him. Those were the people that he was reaching out to. And those were the people that were involved in this multitude that he was speaking to. And then he begins in chapter 5 there, and he sees the multitudes. In different places in Scripture, when those words were said, when Jesus seen the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. It doesn't say that here, but we get this picture of here's the multitudes. You know, some of them experience healing from sickness and various forms of diseases. And he sees the multitudes, he went up to a high mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he taught them, saying, then there he was, teaching them there on the mountainside, one thing after another. And there you have the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. So you may ask, why do I skip all these other things and come to chapter 7? Nothing other than what the Lord lays on my heart here. This is not what I necessarily wanted to speak about. This came as an inspiration here some days ago. And I went into prayer about there's something else that came to me or another thought. And I went into prayer and there just seemed like a wall. So obviously there was something there's a reason why he wanted me to share. And I was studying for this few thoughts here. I knew it was me. That was the reason. So there's many things here that he hits on in chapter 5, 6, before 7. Many teachings, but we're going to look at just one of them this morning. And hopefully we can glean a nugget from it. Okay, we read those verses. Judge not that you be not judged. I'm not sure what you think of that when you read across that, or what came to your mind when you read that, or what comes to your mind. Judge not that you be not judged. Then we get this picture. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Then it gives a picture of Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye? And different interpretations would use the mote as maybe a splinter or a small stick. And the beam being a beam there's various ways it's used. Some would say even a log, something of sizable proportion. So when we think of this picture, first of all, we think of this picture of my brother has a splinter in his eye, and I'm coming there with my big log, and I'm here, brother, let me help you, and whack him over the head here, and let me help you get that splinter out. So and maybe your brother's ducking because that log is swinging around again. We get that picture, and it seems a little bit silly, but when we think of the verses prior, it says, judge not, ye be not judged. There's various ways that this word is used, as we'll look at here later on, but what I got from it is condemnation, condemn. Condemn not that you be not condemned. For with what condemnation you condemn, you shall be condemned. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Measure and meet are similar words, very similar actually, and almost the same thing. We could almost... There's a different word used there, but they're very similar in measure. We could say that set bounds. When you measure something, really for your ladies, when you're doing a recipe, you have various measuring devices, and you think of a measuring cup, where it's two cups fit in there. You're setting bounds around that thing to measure. It's set in a container. Set bounds. There's a limited portion where it can go. You've set your bounds around. That's measure. Okay. And meet uses the word measure in its definition, or rule, or standard, or there again you have that bounds. So when we think of this. With what measure you meet, with what bounds that you set, what rule and standards that you place for your brother, that's how you're going to be measured. Oftentimes, self-rightness blinds our own needs. But we can easily see somebody else's carnality, worldliness, and covetousness. One filled with adultery looking down on one filled with anger. Neither will inherit the kingdom. In a judicial court, I will have to hold to the same rule, to the same standard, to the same line, to the same principle, to the same critical eye and scrutiny as I subconsciously hold others to. What about when I listen to a sermon, to a message, somebody's delivering a message, and I sit there as a judge, in my seat, back there in the pew, I'm sitting there as a judge. I'm scrutinizing his life to how much I can take of this message. Brothers, I've done it. This is a totem pole effect, looking down on others and lifting oneself up. I believe it's why that this portion of Scripture, that this portion, these five verses here, is why some people say that this is the most important part of this whole Sermon on the Mount, because it has to deal with myself lifting up above others and looking down on everybody else and having a negative connotation on everybody else and looking down and lifting myself up. That's to deal with pride in my life. Other parts deal with the heart, yes. But this deals with the better than thou attitude, not just the better than thou, but I think of what Jesus told of the Pharisees, a couple of different things actually. You can read Matthew 23. He had some hard things to say. But you hypocrites. And we think again of the picture that it gives here. Of someone with a beam sticking out of his eye, trying to help someone with a splinter. It looks pretty silly, but that's what we do. We can see his or her fault a lot easier than my own. And we hold others to perfection while we are struggling ourselves. Jesus was looking at the multitudes with these things in him. And I can only imagine that his heart was just filled with compassion because he's seen these things. First Peter 3:8 is a call for us to have compassion on one another. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. This is one of the most important exhortations in the whole of this excellent sermon. I'm quoting here from a writer. By a secret and criminal disposition of nature, man endeavors to elevate himself above others and, to do it more effectually, depresses them. His jealous and envious heart wishes that there may be no good quality found but in himself, that he alone may be esteemed. Such is the state of every unconverted man, and it is from this criminal disposition that evil surmises, rash judgments, precipitate decisions, and all other unjust procedures against our neighbor flow. In Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, we have these words. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. And for thou that judgest, dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth, against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which doest such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? In Luke 6, verse 37 to 42, we have the similar account also there. I'd just like to read through that too, from 37 to 42 in Luke 6. Judge not that you shall not be judged, condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall man give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Neither how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Here's another quote. How great is the goodness of God in being so willing to put our judgment into our own hands as to engage Himself not to enter into judgment with us, provided we do not usurp the right which belongs solely to Him in reference to others. And also, mercy will ever incline us to condemn those unmercifully whose faults are certain and visible, to lessen, conceal, and excuse them as much as we can without prejudice to truth and justice, and to be far from aggravating, divulging, and even discerning them to be punished. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And that judge there, this is 1 Corinthians 11:31, you don't have to turn there. But it says, for if we would judge ourselves, and that judge there is a different, there's different words the judge is used, and different Greek words that it's used. One is a judge, as we think of a judge, a person. Another one is a judge to judge right from wrong, that type of a judge. Then there's a judge where it's in a condemning and damning way. That type of a judge is also used. This one here is yet a different one. It says, if we would judge ourselves, which means to separate thoroughly, discern. In other words, if we would separate thoroughly and to discern ourselves, then we should not be judged, as Scripture says here. This doesn't mean that our brothers can't be addressed. It only means that my life needs to be addressed first and then proceeded very carefully. I think of the words in Ephesians about walking circumspectly or perfectly. I think of the words humbly and brokenly. You know, it's not saying that judge not, you know, not be judged, but in a condemning condescending way of looking down upon my brother when I myself have some major needs in my life. It's more or less speaking of attitude. Because the same way that I hold my brother, or to the same standard that I hold my brother, that's how I'm going to be judged. In the same condescending way that I hold my brother, in the same standard, in the same position, that's how I'll be judged. And it's just a carefulness, it's just a warning to carefulness for us to walk very carefully in these ways. Okay, I think we'll leave. I think we'll leave that part. There's a second aspect that we want to take a look at in judging, and these next verses are, in my mind, a better note than the others. That can be a little hard on us, you know. The idea of judging, but I trust it's not so. In John, let's go to John. That's mainly where we find the remainder of our verses here. In John, the Gospel of John. John 5, chapter 5, verses starting in verse 19. Here we have Here we have the count. The first part of 5, we have the count where Jesus heals a sick man on the Sabbath day. That was a pretty major thing there. I might come back to that a little bit. But in 19 to 30, let's read that quickly. I'll try to read, keep it moving. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. And as we're going through here, I'm going to point out there's different ways that the word that we're looking at is used here in these verses. Judgment, specifically. Okay? And for the things... But what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment, there's his two words again, unto the Son. They're very similar. There's a one is 29:19, one is 29:20, one is Crino, and one is Croesus. I think it's maybe the noun and the verb. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. There it is again. It's a different word. Same meaning. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And He hath given Him authority to execute judgment. There it is again in another word. Judgment. To execute judgment. Also because He is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Damnation is another one. So we have condemnation, judgment, and damnation. Using the same reading here, in a different word, but the same meaning. I can my own self, listen to the words that Jesus says, I can of mine own self do nothing. When we think of Jesus saying that, we think, you know, what does that make us think? I can do it of my own self. He was so submitted to the Father. His will and heart and life was so subjected to the Father that there's nothing that He could do outside of His Father's will. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will. And this was the key of Jesus' entirety here upon this earth. Yes, He was God in the flesh, but He was subjected to the will of the Father. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I want you to remember that verse as we go on here. We'll refer to it again. Should maybe spend more time on that. But let's go to John 7:24. John 7:24 for another reading. Here's Jesus at the Feast of the Tabernacles, here in chapter 7 of the Gospel of John. Yeah, we're going to start reading that in verse 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. I believe that this one work that He's talking about here is the work that He done on the Sabbath day, because He made reference to it in the verses after of that thing that He did on the Sabbath day. And you don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. In chapter 5, verse 16, He had just got done healing the man on Sabbath day. He was there by the pool of Bethsaida, having five porches, and it was a time when the angels stirred the water and people went in there and were healed. And he said, Jesus came to him and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Well, yeah, but there's no one to help me that when the strain of the water is, I can't get in there to be healed. And somebody else steps before me. Jesus said to him, this was on Sabbath day, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Well, he was condemned because of him taking up his bed and carrying his bed on Sabbath day. And that was not lawful for him to do that. And so in 16, he said, "Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So there's a double whammy there on the Sabbath. So I believe that's the work that he's talking about here in chapter 7. "I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcised the man." Now, he's telling them, you on a Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, but the law of Moses should not be broken, you're angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And verse 24 is the one we're looking at. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. Now, going back to chapter 5, verse 30. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just." The word "just" and the word "righteous," they are one and the same. And they mean to be equitable, holy, and right. He's speaking of equality. In the kingdom of God, there's equality, and that's what he promotes, is equality. There's not one, there's places of different responsibility. I be careful what I say there. But in verse 24, in chapter 7, it says, "Judge not according to the appearance." Sometimes we get so stuck on the law of the letter that there's no compassion. There's no looking into. Give us an example. There's a little story here. "Hey, look, isn't that your pastor sitting in the first class?" asked one of us. "Indeed it was. There he sat, all stretched out in the roomy part of a plane, while the four of us wedged ourselves in a row of seats in the tourist class section. Immediately we begin to wonder aloud about his lifestyle. He probably has to have more room to work on his sermons, so he pays extra for the first class," someone said. "Do you think the people in his church know that he goes first class?" questioned another. "He's shorter than any of us. He doesn't need all that room," joked another. Before the plane took off, however, our comments were silenced when the pastor got up and moved to his assigned seat in tourist class. We not only had been wrong in judging him, but we had also judged him wrongly. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Sometimes we place a judgment on something or someone, and we don't know the whole story. We don't know the situation. May God help us. I'm sorry, there's something else that I'm not finding here. Thought I had in my notes. Okay. Okay, we'll keep going here. Your word instructs us not to judge, so Lord, we humbly pray. Restrain our lips when we would speak those things we should not say. When we resort to fault finding, one of our faults won't be hard to find. Okay, let's go to John 12. John 12. Okay. Here's the account of states that there's different of the Pharisees that believed on him. The chief rulers also, many believed on him, and nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Or I'm reading in verse 42. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They wouldn't come out because of this. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment that I should say and what I should speak. Okay. We can do the same. You know, Jesus came and he spoke his word. But he said he didn't come to judge. He came to save. But then also with that he said, but the words that I speak, those will that's what will judge us. And he said, you know, it's God's word that judges us. Jesus passed it on and only did what the Father told him. We can do the same. When we speak out against sin or don't go along with unrighteous living, we will be labeled as judging. Or our lifestyle may even be condemning to them. It is not us that's judging. We are only trying to live out the teachings of Jesus as we understand it. And we can blame it upon God's word. Even with all that, we will be labeled as judging. Us or not judge. When we truly live out the teachings of Jesus, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There shall be opposition. Unless I be misunderstood, let me repeat and try to clarify in concluding these two points. Judge not that you be not judged. What we hold others to, we need to hold ourselves to. The same criteria, the same critical eye, the same attitude, the same rule, standard. What we hold to others, we have to live by. Condemn not, that we will not be condemned. What we hold others to, we need to hold ourselves to. And I'm not saying that we are not to judge in a right or wrong sort of manner. We are to try the spirits. We are to be Bereans and search the scriptures to see if these things are so. And I'm not saying covering sin or turning a blind eye and a deaf ear. But as we live out the gospel, may we walk carefully in attitudes and how we relate, first of all, to our brothers and sisters, then those also that are around us. Live to the same standard. We hold others to the same scrutiny. This comes home really close to me, for me. Too many times I had this negative scrutiny to other people. And you know, I such a critical eye that that I hack them to pieces and lay them out in the sun to dry type of thing. I believe that's what this verse is talking about. Judge not that you be not judged. The same measure that we hold others to, the same plateau that we call others to, we must hold ourselves to. We will be accountable. And right after Luke 6, those verses that I read there, if we continue on to read there, it says these words, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit." And the same idea of judging. God's word says, you know, it says that condemn not that you be not condemned. But it does not discount the fact that we don't judge. It calls us to judge righteously. It calls us to judge justly. It calls us to judge with equity, with equality. It calls us to judge that way. But it said that it does not say that we cannot, that we're not to judge. Meaning, right from wrong, good to evil, that type of thing. And we can also judge, if you want to use that word, a good tree or a bad tree by the fruits. It says you shall know them. And that's what this is what that portion here that I was going to read talks about. Okay, in closing, I want to bring another aspect in, and we'll just mention it here briefly. The third point or aspect or the third side of this whole thing, this equation. God is the ultimate judge. He is a righteous judge. And we can say with Abraham, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" James 5:9, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Revelation 9:11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." 2 Timothy 4:1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the same time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Sorry, this was kind of a crash course thing. But as we continue to live and be, may we judge righteously, even as our Lord, and be filled with compassion and forgiveness, being part of that ministry of reconciliation to judge righteously. Judge not that you be not judged. for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. God's blessings to you all.